just want to let you guys know again before we start that I think you're all really beautiful. And things are coming together here. Yo!
Hello and welcome to a long delayed episode of Pop Fishbowl. I am your host Ezekiel. It is June. It is June 3rd tonight. I've been gone for a month. Sorry guys, I don't know about you, I'm insanely hard on myself, and I had kind of figured that my podcast sucked, and I just stopped doing it. I have thoughts, I had lots of things I want to say, but I just kind of stopped, and I got the nicest emails this week. I was planning to do kind of another one anyways, and they're just very sweet. I don't have them with me, so I can't read them on air, and I didn't ask the people, but just really sweet, like saying things like they missed my thoughts, and they missed my voice, and my voice was lovely, and it's totally not, but it's very nice, and so thank you. So I'm back, and hopefully I'll be back to like the weekly routine. The month just got crazy. I can't believe it's been like a month. That just kind of blew me away, because the last one I did was like April 30th. So, yeah. So anyways, I wanted to put out that very briefly, and I wanted to dedicate this podcast to Katie. Katie is suffering from the death flu the last week, and she hasn't really been feeling good, and I wanted something that she could listen to that would hopefully put her to sleep, because I'm so boring, and she would be like, oh my god, Ezekiel, this is great, just keep talking, I'm gonna go to sleep in a second. So I just wanted to give Katie something that she could kind of listen to, that she could just sit in bed, and Katie should be in bed resting. She's an amazing artist. You should buy all her art and give her ketchup chips, because she likes that. So anyways, it's the beginning of June. What have I been watching and reading and consuming and playing video games? I finally finished The Devil in the White City by Eric Larson, a book that I kind of compare it to like walking through oatmeal, because that's kind of what it felt like. Here's my thing on The Devil in the White City. It's a very long book. I think it clocks in at like 440 when all said is done. And it's about this serial killer, H.H. Holmes, in Chicago at the time of the World Fair in 1892. And it's also about the engineers and the people who were behind the construction of the World Fair. So it's kind of like two books, and it's like Larson, instead of writing two separate distinct books about the two things, the serial killer and the fair, he kind of was like, let's just mash it up. People love that. Let's just combine shit. So it's very like awkward, where it's like one chapter will focus on the architects, and sometimes just random like factoids of the Chicago World Fair. You know, somebody went on a bus, and that's a chapter. And then there's the chapters on the serial killer H.H. Holmes. So I found it a very awkward read. I don't know if it makes sense to other readers. I really enjoyed the book. I found it interesting. It was not a well-written book. It just wasn't. I forced myself to read it, because the last couple books I read were just pure fiction, and I wanted something that was different. And the funny thing is, this can't even be non-fiction. It's like speculative fiction, because it's got like little bits and pieces that are from newspaper clippings and from journals from the time, but a lot of it is Larson just winging it. He's like, I think that H.H. Holmes did this, and I think that these guys did this, but he doesn't really know. He really doesn't know. And so that's, yeah, it was speculative, so it was I'm glad I finished it. So I read that. I read the second book in the series, in the Miss Peregrine series, Hollow City, by Ransom Riggs. I liked the first book, so I finished that one. And I am currently working on the third and, I believe, final question mark in the series. I don't think it's been announced, or I have not seen anything. So right now it's the final book in the series, Library of Souls. Hollow City. I like it. It's about children with strange powers, and it's YA, and someone who wrote a YA, I really enjoy it. I like his writing. I like the characterization. I don't like the main character. The main character of Jacob Portman, I find him to be a lovesick idiot, and he's just running after this girl for the entire time. And hey, we've all been there, whether you are a girl or a guy, and love and feelings and likes, it's a powerful thing, and sometimes we go all googly-eyed. It's a thing that happens. There's no shame in it. But when there's nothing else to you, I just kind of find you boring, and then I get angry, and then I want to smack you. So I read the book over like a 4-hour period while I managed an art gallery last weekend in a very small town, and I just was like, screw you, Jacob Portman. I'm so mad at you. But the book was really good. I just don't like the main character. Does that make any sense? So I'm working on Library of Souls right now. It's really good. Again, I hate Jacob Portman. Hate him. I'm curious, too, because so Tim Burton is doing the movie adaptation. And I don't know about you guys. Like, this is like a strong Ezekiel opinion coming. I have not been a fan of, like, recent Tim Burton. Like, 90s Tim Burton, like, Batman Returns and Batman and Edward Scissorhands and Sleepy Hollow. That Tim Burton I love. That Tim Burton, he's my jam. The newer stuff, like Dark Shadows and Alice in Wonderland and, oh, what else did he do? Did Dark Shadows. I still haven't watched The Big Eyes. I've heard it was a return to form. I haven't watched it. That Tim Burton I'm not really a fan of. That Tim Burton I don't like. So it depends what Tim Burton shows up. If it's like the 90s Tim Burton, that I'm all in. I'm all in. So I don't know. It's and I'm a person who I'm very protective of the books I read. So if I read a book first, and I'm one of those like awful nitpickers where like if something like just a passage from a book is not included in the movie, like the characters go to a market. Like for example, spoiler alerts to Hunger Games. So if you have not read Hunger Games, just skip ahead like 2 minutes. But there's a scene in the first book where Katniss goes to a market. It's totally irrelevant to the plot, but it adds to the world building. And she talks to a character, and I believe the character's name was Old Magna or something. I'm probably wrong, but I just really like that moment in the book, and it's not in the movie. I know why they removed it from the book, but I wanted it there. You know, she got a pin from Old Magna at this little market, and it added it to it, and it was not included in the movie, and it bugged me. So I'm going to be one of those awful people when Miss Peregrine's comes out in December, and I'm just like, you know, I've got my arms crossed in theater, depending if I'm by myself or with people. I'm like, they didn't include that part. And people are like, that was a really good movie. I'm like, yeah, no, it wasn't. It sucked. So I'm a little scared. I'm a little trepidatious about Miss Peregrine's, and because it's Tim Burton. I don't know. So, yeah, so I'm reading that. Those are the books I'm reading. I'm really audacious this weekend and this week. So I want to start and finish Deep Blue by Jennifer Connelly. It is a YA about mermaids. It's done by Disney's Hyperion Press. I love mermaids, so I'm reading it, and I'm really excited. And so, yeah, that's going to kind of keep me busy for books. Yeah, like, that's the books that I'm excited about. Comics. So, I'm really excited about comics. So, first of all, before I get into what I've been reading, DC is doing this thing where they've restarted all their comic books. I think, like, Action Comics and Detective go back to their original numbering. But everything else is kind of rebooted, and it's called Rebirth. So, a couple years ago, they did the New 52, and now it's Rebirth. and I picked up the DC Rebirth number one, which is just kind of like a preface and origin to, and kind of a prologue, like a preamble to what is going to happen. I was kind of bored. It was kind of like a lot of exposition and a lot of slog. The art was really cool. I liked it. Green Arrow looked nice. Aquaman looked really cool, but I don't know. It wasn't my thing. But I'm really excited because, so I don't know if you guys have heard, I really love Green Arrow and Aquaman. They're probably two of my favorite superheroes. I got made fun of as a child because Green Arrow was supposedly really lame because he was just a Robin Hood knockoff. And, oh, what does he do? He's just got arrows. He's a poor man's Batman. Which is really funny because now the Arrow show on the CW is basically Batman, but it's like a green Batman. It essentially is Batman. All the people who love that show Arrow like Batman because that's what it is. It's not Green Arrow. That's not Oliver Queen, and it's not Green Arrow. When I started reading comics about 2.5 years ago, I started reading comics 3 years ago. Wow, milestone, guys. Let's celebrate with birthday cake. Get like a really comic cake or something. I started reading comics 3 years ago. The first comics I picked up were Aquaman and Green Arrow New 52. And I didn't like them. The first Aquaman was okay. Like the first volume was okay. It was better than the Green Arrow. But Green Arrow just wasn't Green Arrow. He's one of my favorite characters, like I said. So I'm pretty protective of Ollie. And I'm excited because Jess Plummer, I'm giving a shout out to her. She writes amazing stuff at panels. You should check out her critiques on stuff. She did a little kind of essay on the New 52. She's as big of a Green Arrow fan as I am. We don't exist in the world. And she's like, Oliver Queen is back. And I'm so excited. I need to run to my comic shop tomorrow and pick up Green Arrow Rebirth number one. I'm excited. I'm also excited for Aquaman Rebirth Volume 1 because it is written by Dan Abnett. And Dan Abnett wrote one of my favorite comic book series, Wild's End, which is about animals, like anthropomorphic animals, in kind of like the Victorian setting with kind of mixed with H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. Shamefully, I just liked the comic, or I bought the comic because of the animals. There was a fox and a rabbit on the cover, and I love animals. I don't care who knows it. Animals are the best. What surprised me about the book is it actually was really good. Like, I probably would have enjoyed it if there weren't animals in it. The writing was really good, the characterization was really good, and I fell in love with the characters. So I have total faith in Dan Abnett. Please, Dan Abnett, don't screw up Aquaman. Please, please, please do not screw up Aquaman. So that's the Rebirth. I'm really excited. I went on kind of a binge this week. I didn't have the best week, so I spent like over $50 in comics. I got Manifest Destiny Volume 3, which I have not read yet. Manifest Destiny is one of my favorite comics. It's kind of like an alternate history of Lewis and Clark's exploration of the new world. And there's like monsters and creatures in it, and it's just really cool. I love Manifest Destiny. One of the girls at the comic shop that I go to told me about it. And so Stacy, shout out to Stacy. Stacy, you were right. I love Manifest Destiny. Stacy knows this. She reminds me of it all the time. But it's great. I haven't read it. I picked up Helicon. Stacy told me the other day when I picked it up that I'm pronouncing it wrong. But I picked up that finally. She recommended it to me. She told me I'd like it. Also have not read it. I got Rocketeer at War number 2. I love Rocketeer. I love that movie. I got the graphic novel for my birthday like last year, and I loved it. So I'm all about supporting Rocketeer in any form. And I got the Rough Riders, which is kind of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but with like actual famous people from history. And they've like... or on a team, and I love teams. I love stuff like that. I'm very excited. So that's Rough Riders. Again, I have not read it yet. What I did read is I picked up Gwenpool. I heard about Gwenpool, probably, I don't know, 6, 7, maybe 8 months ago, because there was Spider-Gwen, and I heard that Gwenpool was like another variant of the character but it was different where she was a cosplayer from another universe that gets stranded in the Marvel universe. And like Deadpool, she kind of breaks the fourth wall and she decides to stay and fight crime because, of course, it's not real. It's a comic book. I wanted to support it because I'm trying really hard that anytime like a female character is introduced, especially if it's a new female character, I buy the first issue of that because it's just so important to me to have more female characters in any medium, but especially comics. And so if a female writer is writing a new comic or there's a new character introduced, whether it's like Patsy Walker Hellcat or Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur or Squirrel Girl, I buy the first issue. I try to support it. So I got Gwenpool. I finally picked him up. The holiday special was okay. It really wasn't about Gwenpool. It was really about like She-Hulk and trying to get this awesome party going on, and Gwenpool showed up. But I did read the first issue of The Unbelievable Gwenpool. Guys, I loved it. I'm not the biggest fan of Deadpool because I just, like, as a writer, I just don't like the fourth wall thing. I think it's kind of, again, strong opinions coming. I just think it's kind of easy to just break the fourth wall. I don't really think of it as challenging. I could write lots of stories where characters break the fourth wall. And because Deadpool has the healing factor, like Wolverine, it was always like, okay, so he's quippy like Spider-Man. He has the healing factor and he breaks the fourth wall. And that's just kind of Deadpool's thing. I also think, unfortunately for me, that when I did get into comics, I felt Deadpool was forced upon me. If I had maybe discovered Deadpool on my own without people like forcing it down my throat, I maybe would have enjoyed him more. So I'm not really a big fan of Gwenpool breaking the fourth wall, because like I just previously discussed, but I love how fun and silly and absolutely charming it is. She is just so fun. She's so weird. She like, she's a cosplayer and she eats pizza and she has discussions with herself and she sings to herself. It's basically me. And I don't even care about this. I'm a straight male. I want to cosplay as Gwenpool. I don't care who knows it. Deal with it. I love Gwenpool. I can't wait for the first volume or the trade. I don't know what to call it. I've always called them like graphic novels, but then people have corrected me. They're like, well, really, it's a trade. The graphic novel, the first volume, the trade, whatever. It comes out in November. I wish it came out now. So those are the comics I have reading and that I'm excited about. In terms of movies, I just recently saw X-Men Apocalypse. I was really excited for X-Men because they're one of my favorite superhero groups, along with Justice League of America and Guardians of the Galaxy. I fell asleep during X-Men Apocalypse. So the parts that I saw were okay. I didn't like the Jubilee, didn't have a focus. Why you gotta hate on Jubilee, guys? Like, I want an X-Men movie where it's like Cyclops and Jean Grey and Beast and Gambit and Storm and Wolverine and Jubilee, and they're all a team. And it's not like a sole focus. Like, we've gotten so many Wolverine movies, and then they give him his own spin-off movies, and I just want a team of the X-Men because they all have their unique traits, and I love the X-Men so much. I love that cartoon growing up, the 90s one, and so Jubilee's always being shortchanged. Gambit was also not in it, so I just, yeah, and I fell asleep. I'll see it again. My best friend, he's like a huge X-Men fan, and I promised him that I'd see it for his birthday, and I hope he's not listening to this because I totally went and saw it without him, because I need to see X-Men on Tuesday night, so I went and saw it. So those are movies. TV. I watched a lot of TV in the last month and a bit, and I'll tell you what I watched. So I finished Underground. I've really been enjoying that, as you guys have probably noticed, because it's just, I think it's one of the best shows of 2016. The finale wasn't great. I kind of honestly think that they could have just ended it, could have just been a miniseries. But they're coming back for a second season. I don't know. So that was Underground. Hap and Leonard from Sundance. I watched. It's kind of like a southern gothic kind of pulpy noir mystery. I loved it, with Michael Kenneth Williams from The Wire and Boardwalk Empire. He played Omar in The Wire. He's so good in this, guys. And it's just, I like crime dramas and mysteries, and it was just, it's only 6 episodes and it's really good. And the villain, I love the villains in everything, and his name is Soldier, and he's got this amazing, like, dominatrix girlfriend that's like totally 80s punk, and she's got this accent because she's British, and all the feels, guys. I loved Soldier and Angel. They were so cool. That was Happen Leonard. I also watched season 2 of Grace and Frankie. Grace and Frankie is totally my jam. Anytime Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda get together and they're talking about sex and how they're 7-year-old women in like 2016 and Martin Sheen and Sam Waterston are gay for each other. It's just, I love that show. It completes me. Finished DC's Legends of Tomorrow, finished Flash season 2. I'm done with the Flash, guys. I did not like this season. I'm just done. I'm just done. I'm not coming back. It would take a hell of a lot for me to come back to the Flash. I finished The Path. Wayward Pines started up again. I was obsessed with Wayward Pines last year. It was my jam. I was so obsessed with Wayward Pines, I actually created a Tumblr blog called The Crickets Are Listening, and a podcast that went along with it that's also on iTunes that you can check out. It's called The Crickets Are Listening Podcast. Wayward Pines really shouldn't have come back. It was originally developed as a miniseries or a limited series. The ratings were super good, so they brought it back. It's with brand new characters. I've watched 2 episodes and I hate it. And I feel really bad because I run a fan blog and do a podcast, and like, what do you say? I don't want to be that grumpy Gus that's like, this show sucks, but it sucks. And I'm glad I can say this on this podcast and not my Wayward Pines podcast. In terms of stuff that's coming out, Preacher just started. Shout out to my friend Jordan. Her and her wonderful husband Josh do the Preacher Cast, which you guys can subscribe on iTunes. The cool thing about it is that her husband has read all the Preacher comics. Jordan has not. So they've got kind of that back and forth dynamic. It's really good. Jordan just gets really super excited about everything. And then Josh just has all the knowledge and experience, and they work well together. They're like just best friends hanging out, talking about a show. So you should check it out. I like it. Outcast starts tonight on Cinemax. It's like this boy who gets possessed by a demon. I'm watching it for Philip Glenister. Philip Glenister was in Life on Mars, a British show from like 10 years ago that I loved. And I will follow Philip Glenister to the end of the earth. I don't know anything about it. Robert Kirkman, who is the Walking Dead guy, he wrote it. It's also based on a comic. I have not read the comic. I have not seen the first episode. So that's Outcast. I watched Lady Dynamite on Netflix last weekend when I was managing an art gallery. It is so weird and twisted. If you guys like Arrested Development, this is like the spiritual successor to Arrested Development. It's even written by Mitch Hurwitz, who is the creator of Arrested Development. It's weird, guys. It is just weird. I'm kind of in love with it, but I'm also scared of it because I don't know what to think. It's very strange. And all I can really say is it is weird. that's the only kind of like thing I can say to people going into it. It's like, I mean, I'm a person who loves weird stuff, like Wet Hot American Summer last year. I loved it. This takes weirdness to a whole other level, but it's different. It's weird. So there's that. I'm super excited for the stuff that's coming out. Unreal starts in a week. Unreal was really, really good last year. Feed the Beast starts on AMC, I think, this Sunday. It's with David Schwimmer, and he opens a restaurant, and the mob wants it. There's Brain Dead on CBS. Dead at Summer is Freeform. Stranger Things is Netflix with Winona Ryder. I really want Emerald City. Emerald City doesn't start till fall, but it's like The Wizard of Oz meets Game of Thrones. All the kingdoms are like battling against each other, and I'm just so excited. Like, can Emerald City just start now? So that's that. Video games. I still have not passed Flaming the Flood. But I have been playing this, like, I say new game because it's new to me, but it's actually really, really old. Like, it came out in the 90s old. It's called Inherit the Earth, and it's about a fox character named Riff, and you have to find a missing orb. I bought it for one reason. I love foxes. It had animals in it, so I was like, I must play this game. It is awesome, but it's really, really hard, and I don't want to cheat. I don't want to, like, get hints or watch YouTube videos, and so I'm just taking my time with it. But I'm, like, 10% done. That's something, right? 10% done, guys. Woohoo! So that's video games. In terms of, like, a topic today, I actually have one. I thought I would talk about the wonderful topic of death. So, a little bit of a context for you. I went to a death cafe this past Monday. I was actually asked to speak at a death cafe. I've gotten this question from everybody, so yes, I will answer the question that you are all asking. What is a death cafe? A death cafe is basically a safe space where people can go and talk about death and how death affects them, or how death has affected them, the different ways they grieve, and the different ways we live, because death and life are yin and yang, they're connected. So I'm not one to get, like, totally personal in my podcast, but I think that in order to kind of explain the podcast, I have to. I don't deal well with death, guys. Death is really hard for me. I'm the person who has panic attacks just going to funerals. I have a really hard time going to funerals. I have a really hard time just with death itself. Even, like, when fictional characters die, I have a hard time. I also lost my girlfriend about 10 years ago, like in October of 2005. So that's a thing that happened, and I don't like to talk about her. Some of my really good friends have not known about her until recently. That's how, like, tight-lipped and, like, locked in the box I kept it. So they asked me to speak about it, and I went, and it was really hard and emotional. And I've been kind of dealing with it this past week. I've been watching this show Journeyman from 2007, which is about a guy who, he's a writer and a reporter, so he's kind of like me. And he starts inexplicably traveling through time. And there's a twist, because there's always a twist. He lost his girlfriend too. She had presumed to kill herself, and no one found the body. And it turns out that the reason why no one found her body was because she is a time traveler too, and she just disappeared. She didn't die. She just vanished in time. And so now there's this super awkward thing where the reporter Dan Vassar meets his ex, and he's married to this woman now, and he has a child with her because it's been several years since she had passed. And so he goes back in time, and he can't leave the time period he is in until he's finished his business. So usually he's helping people. So Dan and Olivia kind of team up in time, and then he's married to Katie in the future. So the future of the show is of 2007. And then it's awkward because Dan's like, yeah, I see Olivia back there. And she's like, what do you mean, Olivia? He's like, yeah, she's there, and we hang out and travel through time. How was your day? Journeyman has really been helping me this week. I don't know if it's just because of the many parallels, but I've been kind of crying at the show and really happy, and then just kind of mellow as well. And I don't want it to end. There's only 13 episodes because it was canceled, because of course all the good shows are canceled. And yeah, that's Journeyman. But what was really interesting is, so after the Death Cafe, I was thinking about death a lot. I'm actually writing a short story right now about death. And I was just kind of thinking about death in media, especially in TV shows. And one of my favorite TV shows was 6 Feet Under, which coincidentally, and that's why I wanted to do the podcast today as well, is celebrating its 15th anniversary. 6 Feet Under premiered on HBO June 3rd, 2001. It ended in 2005. I have not watched an episode since the finale. I watched the finale, I cried, I watched it again, I cried, I bought the DVD, and then I never watched it again. I was kind of scared because it was like my favorite show, and it was like I was so little, right? And so you think everything is good when you're little, and I thought this show was so brilliant. Like, this is like this is like young me where I'm like, oh my god, they said the F word, they said fuck, this is so adult. There's nudity in the show, it's so adult. And so I was kind of scared to revisit it, and I watched the pilot today, and I love 6 Feet Under. I don't know about the whole series, but the pilot definitely holds up. I was getting pretty misty-eyed and getting really excited to just see my characters again and the dynamic. I love 6 Feet Under, and it brought back all the shows that were about death. There was a show on Showtime that I loved, which was about Grim Reapers, called Dead Like Me, that Brian Fuller originally wrote. Pushing Daisies is another show that I love, which is also about death. It's about a pie maker who can bring people back from the dead, and he brings back his true love, but because he brought her back from the dead, they can never actually touch. They can't be physically intimate with each other, so there's that hard thing where they love each other, but they can never be together in that way. So, yeah, death as a subject, it's there. Sometimes people overuse it. There's a lot of characters that have died this year. A lot of times they've died for no apparent reason other than shock value. But yeah, it's interesting what we get out of death, because everyone handles death differently. Everyone grieves differently. There is no right way to grieve. And I've just been thinking about it a lot this week, just with watching Journeyman and writing this short story and just kind of coming to terms with this Death Cafe and my own experiences. So yeah, that's been the pop culture minutiae of this week for me. Read some stuff, watched some stuff, talked about death. Anyways, I'm hoping that the next episode of Pop Fishbowl will not be so death heavy, only to preserve my sanity. And I'm really excited about the comics. I can't wait to read Manifest Destiny. I can't wait to read Green Arrow. I can't wait to finish Library of Souls. I can't wait to read Deep Blue. I can't wait to finish those video games. So excited, guys. Yeah, so anyways, I never do this because I'm awful. I'm like my own worst enemy. But please subscribe on iTunes. You can also leave a review, which would be helpful and handy. I've never had a review. Good review, bad review, just leave me a review. That would be great, yeah. So please subscribe on iTunes, and I will be back next week. I'll see you guys then. Bye.